Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Nirottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11, Chapter entitled Jab Bharata Instructs King Rahugana. Text number 4. Yavanmano Rajasa Purushasya.
Yavanmano Rajasa Purushasya.
Satvena va tamasa vanarudham.
Satvena va tamasa vanarudham.
Chetopiya. I didn't bring my glass. Chetopiya akutibiya atanoti.
Chetopiya akutibiya atanoti.
Nirunkusham kushalam chetaramba.
Nirunkusham kushalam chetaramba.
Yavanmano rajasa purushasya.
Yavanmano rajasa purushasya.
Satvena va tamasa vanurudam.
Satvena va tamasa vanurudam.
Chetopiya akutibiya atanoti. Nirankusham kushalam cheturumva.
Nirankusham kushalam
cheturumva. Yavam
mano.
That's true. I don't know what song, but I'm saying it's true. Yavam mano rajasa purushasya. Tamasa vanurudam. Chetopiya akutibiya atanoti. Nirankusham kushalam chetaramva. Yavat. As long as. Manna.
The mind.
Rajasa. By the mode of passion. Purushasya.
Of the living entity.
Satvena. By the mode of goodness. Tamasa. By the mode of darkness. Anurudam, control. Chetobi, by the knowledge. Acquiring senses. Akutibi, by the senses of action. Atanoti, expands. Nirankusham, independent like an elephant. Not controlled by a tribe. Kushalam. Auspiciousness. Cha. Also. Itaram. Other than auspiciousness. Sinful activities. Va. Or. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As long as the mind of the living entity is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, his mind is exactly like an independent, uncontrolled elephant. It simply expands its jurisdiction of pious and impious activities by using the senses. The result is that the living entity remains in the material world to enjoy and suffer pleasures and pains due to material activity. Translation responsibly. As long as the mind of the living entity is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, his mind is exactly like an independent, uncontrolled elephant. It simply expands its jurisdiction of pious and impious activities by using the senses. The result is that the living entity remains in the material world to enjoy and suffer pleasures and pains due to material activity. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that material pious and impious activities are both opposed to the principles of devotional service. Devotional service means mukti, freedom from material engagement, but pious and impious activities result in entanglement within the material world. If the mind is captivated by the pious and impious activities mentioned in the Vedas, one remains eternally in darkness. One cannot attain the absolute platform. To change the consciousness from ignorance to passion or from passion to goodness does not really solve the problem. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Saguna Samatityaitam Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpati. One must come to the transcendental platform. Otherwise, life's mission is never fulfilled. Amagyan, Kivananjana, Shalakaya, Chakshun, Namitam Kaya, Tasmai, Sri Guru Deva, Sri Chaitanya Manobisham, Sapitamina, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa, Dadamayam, Dadati Swapadantikam, Vanchakal Paturubhyascha, Kripasindubi, Evacha, Patitanam, Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo, Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadhikora Bhakta Kanda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'm happy to be back live. This is the first class I've given since Gopanim last year. Live in the temple. All the classes I've been giving for the last 12 months have been online. It's not the same. It's nice to see mask wearing people. So now we are live again. And it is a Kaddish. So it's a holy day, very auspicious. And this pastime, this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is special for me because this is the section of the Bhagavatam that made me a devotee of Krishna, turned to Krishna consciousness. When I was, I think 18 actually, then I received a book, one of Prabhupada's books. It is called Coming Back. And I read the book. In the coming back. And then, in coming back, it describes the pastime of Jad Bharat and Maharaj Rahugana. And actually, when I read that, that is what, out of the whole book, that is the part that influenced me the most, or gave me the most inspiration to become a devotee of Krishna. Because when I read about the personality, and the attributes and the characteristics of Jad Bharata, that he was completely detached from this world. When you read about Jad Bharata, we understand what is actual self-realization. Before I became a devotee, I was reading other books. Baha'i. Have you heard of Baha'i? Yeah, Baha'i. The spiritual view. So I was reading Baha'i, and I read some Buddhism, and different things, Eastern philosophy. Because I grew up in Melbourne, Western culture, out in Eltham, like north from me. So I grew up here, and I went to church. up until I was maybe 17 was the last time I went. But when I heard them speak, there was no enlightenment. You know, they speak their lecture, but at the end I thought, what is this? There's no, I'm not feeling something deep, spiritual. So then I thought, I will read Eastern philosophy. So I read Buddhism, Baha'i, different things. But it was nice. I mean, it tells you, be a good person and be spiritual and these things, but it wasn't changing my consciousness deeply. But then I read Coming Back. I was doing a modeling course to be a model, so I could get my photograph taken and walk on the catwalk and those things. I was doing those things. I was doing some modeling, you know, I was getting paid some money to do some modeling. But I did one course, but the course was boring. It's a six-week course. Right, how to be a model. I teach all different things, but it's boring. So I used to not go to the modeling course, my mother would get angry if I did not go. So I would go to my grandmother's house because she would not tell my mother that I was not going to the modeling course. So I went to my grandmother's house one day, and she wasn't there. So I went inside, I sat down, I watched some television, and then the television, there's nothing to watch, so I turned it off. And then I looked on her bookshelf, and then there was one book there that said, Coming Back, The Science of Reincarnation. I thought, oh, that's nice. I believe in reincarnation. So I picked up that book, and then 2 hours I just read six chapters. And the part that influenced me the most was this pastime of Jad Bharata. And when I read that, I still remember that. That's what changed my consciousness. The words of the Bhagavatam changed, it created a revolution in the heart of the misdirected civilization. So I read that book, and then after I read about Jabba, and I understood this is actual self-realization. When I read the other books, like Baha'i and things, they said, oh, you know, be nice and do these things and all this. But when I read that, that's actual self-realization. Jabba, he did not feel heat and cold. He did not see in duality. He did not differentiate between happiness and distress. Now, this is actual self-realization. Pandit Samadarshana. Actual equipoise under every circumstance. No duality. This is self-realization. So when I read that, I understood, yes, this is the real thing. But I still had material desires. So I did not go straight to the temple. In the back I read, I said, oh, where is this place? And they said, Hare Krishna Temple, 197 Dang Street, Albert Park. And I was close by. My modeling course was just there in South Melbourne, so I was literally 10 minutes away. But I had material desires. I thought, oh, no, I'll become famous. You know, I'll do all these things. So I did not come straight to the temple. But then Krishna was playing chess with me. I was going there, Krishna was going there. I was going there, he was going there. I was going there, I was trying to escape Krishna, but every time I went, he went do, 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 do. Then finally he did checkmate. Checkmate. Everything was finished. Right? Nothing was working for me, materially. Success was not coming, all these things. So then I opened the book, I said, okay, 197 Dang Street, time to go. So then I rang the temple. They had one phone number in the back, 9699-51-22. So I rang, and then I said, can I come and visit your temple? And I said, my Mataji, she picked up the phone, and she said, yeah, you can come, no problem. I said, what time are you open? She said 4:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. What? I thought, what sort of a place is this? Yeah, everything else opens 9 to 5. This place opens at 4:30 in the morning. I was like, in my mind, I was thinking, what sort of place is this? In my mind, I was thinking it was like a little shop front. You know, like you go around the corner, there's some shops there. I thought it was like that. You go there and there's some shop, and you walk in, and someone talks to you, and then I pulled up out the front, and I walked in, and it was this place. I thought, this place is amazing. But back then, It was very quiet then. You know, there wasn't many people, 1989. Not like now, it's busy. But. So I came in about 10:30 in the morning, I think, something like that. And I came in. I was in the courtyard by myself in that area for half an hour by myself. Didn't see one devotee. I thought, wow, I thought, what is this place? But some spirit, even the people like. You know, I thought it's some like spiritual place. You know? But I could feel the atmosphere, very powerful. And then I was sitting just as a bench just out here, so I was sitting there on the bench. And then after half an hour, Jagannath Balabhadra, you know Jagannath Balabhadra? He lives there in the ashram. He was there. So he was walking from the paraphernalia room to the deity room, you know, going back and forth, you know, bringing me, doing some seva. So he walked past me three times. Every time he walked past me, he just looked at me. He didn't say anything. Three times he went back and forth. I thought, wow, he's just like in the book. You know, he's not in contact with this world. He's just completely... I thought, wow, there's a real monk. I thought, this is what I want to become. I want to become like this. And then he introduced me when he got one Brahmacharini, and she came and she preached to me. And then Jai Kheda Charanprabhu, he lives in New Zealand now, he came and he preached to me for 2 hours, I think. And then I said, okay, I want to move in. He said, come and meet the president. So I came on Sunday, met the temple president. He spoke to me for 2 hours. And I said, I want to move in. He said, you can't move in. You just came here. No one knows you. Who are you? You just came. I said, no, I want to move in. I said, I'll come every day. So you let me stay here, then I don't have to go home every day. And he said, okay, when will you come? I said, Wednesday. I said, Thursday, actually. I said, just give me a few days. I'll just wrap everything up. I'll come. And then Krishna allowed me to move in, and then I'm still here. Because I like the prasad. I'm not going anywhere else because I love it. I ate gula jamuns at my farm yesterday. That's why I'm happy today. If you keep giving me these discount bullets, I will say. No problem. Any questions or comments? Okay, so this is the pastime that made me a devotee. It is the pages of the Bhagavatam. It is real self-realization. This is genuine atma-tattva. This is not material. Genuine spirituality will change the heart. Something which is not genuine will not change your heart. But this Bhagavatam itself says it will create a revolution in the misguided consciousness of the misguided civilization. This is what takes place. So in this particular verse, it's very instructive. Prabhupada says in the purport, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, material pious and impious activities are both opposed to the principles of devotional service. So Bhagavad Gita is saying, as Prabhupada quotes here, gunam samatijayatam brahma guyaya kalpate. Which chapter does this verse come from? Brahma Guyaya Kalpate. Which chapter is it? Okay, which book is it in? Which book is that verse in? Brahma Guyaya, yes. Very good. Okay, one person knows. Okay, so if it's in the Bhagavad Gita, which chapter is it in? Okay, what did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said you should know his books like the lawyer knows the law books or the Christian knows the Bible. So you should all know which chapter that is in. You should know these things. Right? We're not just sitting around here waiting for prasada. Right? We should know these things. Okay, so which chapter is it? Someone? Anyone? Which chapter is it?
14.
Yeah, so you can say. Yeah, 14. So it's in chapter 14. Which chapter is 14? What's it called? Very good. Three modes of material nature. Okay. So in chapter 14, basically the Bhagavad Gita is divided into three sections, right? First six chapters are called Karma, Yoga. The middle six chapters, which are the most important chapters, are called Bhakti, Yoga. Which chapter is the most important out of the whole 18 chapters? Very good. Nine. What is nine called? Yeah, most confidential knowledge. Right. So chapter 9 is the most important chapter in the whole Gita. Right? That's where the Rahasya is hidden, deep within. Mamana Baba Mambakto, that's the Rahasya of the Gita. And the chapter shloka. So the 10 verses. Chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. So that's the essence. Chapter 9 and those verses, that's the essence. So the Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Yoga chapter, the Bhakti Yoga section is 7 to 12. And then from 13 to 18, that is called Jnana Yoga section. Now, if you study this Jnana Yoga section, about 20 years ago, I studied it very deeply, this particular section. What is the main subject matter of that chapter, of those six chapters, the last six chapters? It's Jnana Yoga, but what does Krishna mainly speak about? Three modes of nature, gunas, right? That's the main subject matter. That Krishna, if you look at like chapter 14, it's called the three modes of material nature. Chapter 13 and 15 is some reference, but 16, divine and demoniac qualities, it's all about the modes. 17 is divisions of faith, and it's all about the modes. 18, Krishna then continues, even though it's a summary, right? But still, there is a lot of information about the monks. So that is the main subject matter. That is Jnana Yoga. That will detach you from this world if you understand how the modes are operating on you. I remember my Guru Maharaj, she said, when I was a very new devotee, he was giving one lecture, and he said, you have to understand when the three modes of material nature are acting upon you. And when he said that, it was many years ago, I heard him say that, I didn't even understand what he meant at the time. He said, you have to understand when the three modes are acting. The modes were acting on me so much, I didn't even understand what he meant. What do you mean? You have to understand when the modes are acting on you. And so, now I can see it. Now I can understand the mode of passion is influencing me, the mode of ignorance is influencing me, the mode of goodness is influencing me. You have to understand when you're being influenced, so that you can detach yourself from the influence of the moments. Otherwise, the moments will control your consciousness. So you have to learn to detach yourself. And it's called Vairagya. Vairagya Pitcha, Nija Bhakti Yogendra. Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is enriched with Vairagya and Vidya. Just like at the moment, Gopanim is coming. When is Gopanim? 29. Of which month?
March.
March, very good. Please be here, if you can come. So 29th of March. It's on the Monday or the Sunday?
Monday.
Monday, yeah. I saw one calendar that says it's on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Monday is good. Monday works well. Okay, so 29th of March. So the GBC strategic planning team, SVP, they organized online that every day from Advaita Acharya's appearance until Gopanim, there are lectures on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right. Has anyone been listening to your lectures?
No,
I'm listening to you. You've been listening to you? Very good lectures. Very good lectures. I've been studying them very carefully, like different devotees from around the world. Speaking on Chaitanya Charitamrita specifically, very enlightening. I'm learning a lot about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very good lectures. They're on Facebook, they're on YouTube. You can look at them. So, one thing which is very important is that we want to stay devotees our whole life. And after this life also, you want to be a devotee. We want to be devotees for our whole life. But you see, if you look around, right, If I say now, hands up, how many devotees have been practicing Krishna consciousness for more than 30 years in this room? More than 30. Okay, no one's putting their hand up. More than 25? Yes. Yeah, okay. A few devotees. More than 20 years. You guys have been practicing 30 years, right? Yeah, long time. Rasi Prabhu and Bhagavad. You've been practicing, yeah, long time. Okay. So, if you look around, right, if you go to many temples in the world, you don't see so many devotees. Sometimes you don't see a lot of devotees who've been around for a long time. 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Not like, there should be many. But devotees, they lose their enthusiasm over time. I've noticed. I think it's true. You know, devotees lose their enthusiasm over time. So then the question is, how do you keep your enthusiasm over time? Do you want to know the answer? No one wants to know? Okay. No problem. You do want to know? Okay. How do you keep your enthusiasm over time? Because Prabhupada says your enthusiasm should be increasing, not decreasing. Right? It shouldn't be coming less, it should be coming more. You should be more relishing chanting the holy name. You should be more enthusiastic about devotional service. You should be more interested in studying Prabhupada's books. So the secret, as far as I can understand, is that you have to challenge yourself continuously. There has to be deeper realizations which are being explored. And where does this come from? It comes from transcendental literature. It comes from Prabhupada's books. Like now I'm studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? So Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita is very deep book. But now I'm studying it much more carefully than before. So even though I've read it before and I've heard so many of the past ones before, but now that I'm listening to these lectures by these devotees, where they're deeply going into Chaitanya Charitamrita, right, I'm finding it more and more relishable. Right? And that enthuses you more. So you have to constantly challenge yourself. That you will get deeper realizations and deeper realizations. It comes through the books, actually. If you want enthusiasm, it comes from studying Prabhupada's books. Right? And the books of the Vaishnava Charas. They tell you deepen your enthusiasm. And then your enthusiasm doesn't go down, it actually becomes more. Right? That's why Prabhupada said you have to read his books 1 hour a day or 2 hours a day. He said that. Because right? The more you listen, the more you hear, the more you're imbibed, then the more enthusiasm you get. So over time, we have to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the subject matter. So the three modes of material nature, that is the subject matter primarily of the Jnana Yoga section. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yogena. Lord Chaitanya's mission, you know, I'm studying at the moment this Chaitanya Charitamrita theme. That is his mission. Right? It is to go very deep into Vairagya and Vidya, cultivating transcendental knowledge, because then you become detached from this world. And that's what Jad Bharat is. You read this past line, he's detached. How do you become detached? By studying the books very deeply. Right? And then you develop that detachment from this material world. Otherwise, it's very difficult, because Maya is very strong. Prabhupada once said, one criticism I have of my disciples, they do not fear Maya enough. We're not scared of Maya. You think that Maya will not take you away from Krishna. Maya can easily take you away from Krishna. Maya can take me away from Krishna anytime she wants. She's so powerful. If she wants, she can just... easily she can do it. But Krishna is merciful. He does not test me so much. But easily she can take away. So how do you become detached? Then you have to study the books very deeply. So it is said here that... Prabhupada says from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that material pious and impious activities are both opposed to the principles of devotional service. So you can't be attached as a devotee to impious activities. That's why when we become a devotee, one of the four vows that we take in initiation, the nisheka, the things we say we will not do, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. Right? Because if you do those things, what will it do to your consciousness? It will take you away from Krishna, impious activities. But it's interesting, it says here that pious activities will also take you away from Krishna. Right? You see so many people, they're into mundane piety, especially Hindu people. Right? Just like they come to our farm all the time. And, you know, they come to our farm and they say, okay, we want to do a ritual with the cow. And they said, you know, some came recently and they said, a cow with the black spots. You have to, right. And then Brahmana has to be, no, it was a Brahmani. Brahmani, we need a Brahmani to do some puja to the cow with the black spots. So, it's, you know, it's pious activity. You know, but they get very insistent. One time they came, they said they wanted to pass the baby under the cow. They said that. You know, so some priest told them the baby has to go under the cow. Manigiri and Purusa, you people are crazy. We're going to put a baby under a cow. Well, the cow kicks, the baby is finished. That's what they said. They think they're attached to pious activity and impious activity. And then what does that do? You can't think of Krishna. And that's why I say that. All the time they come, they say, oh, we have to do this ritual, this puja. We have to put some red kumkum on the cow. Right? And then we have to put one cloth on the cow. Like this. It's all ritualistic. I say, do you want to actually serve the cow? Give us $1,000. No, seriously. Give us $1,000 and sponsor the cow. Do some actual service. Don't just put some red on the cow and then, you know, oh, now the cow is happy, it has bread on it. You know, the cow walks around all day long. That's how they think that is. That's mundane piety. So it says here, Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, material pious and impious activities are both opposed to the principles of devotional service. You don't go back to Krishna just by putting some bread on the cow. People think that. They think, oh, that, you know, no, it doesn't do anything. Right? And then they think that it's very important actually what the motivation is while you're doing your service. Right? It's very important what the motivation is. Right? Just like some devotees, their relatives passed away. So then they come to the farm regularly to feed the cows. So the benefit will go to their departed relatives. It's a nice sentiment, but actually speaking, that's why in our tradition, the Shraddha ceremony or the Pinda, it's not so emphasized. Right? What is more important, you just practice bhakti, your devotional service, your relatives automatically get benefited. So it's very important what the motivation is. You say, oh, I'm feeding the cow for the benefit like that. No. Just do devotional service. Concentrate in bhakti, and then automatically all things will happen. Just like my father passed away about 10, 11 years ago. So I took some of his ashes to the Ganga. And then, you know, I could think, oh, I do this puja, and then he will get benefit. No, I don't think like that. I just think if I do devotional service, he will get benefit. So I put his ashes into the Ganges, and then the pujari, the devotee who was with me, said he has gone to Vaikuntha at that moment when I put the ashes. So I took that. That's a blessing. I just do devotional service. He will also get benefit. So that's what we concentrate on. We don't concentrate on pious and impious activity. So in this verse, we're hearing about the gunas, right? The mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, and the mode of goodness. A mode of passion, ignorance, and goodness. Sometimes hard for me to remember more than a couple of things. So, these are significant, these modes, because we're all affected by the modes. Right? Hands up if you're affected by the modes. Yeah, everyone except Mohan Prabhu. because he is so transcendental. He's so absorbed in Krishna consciousness on his phone. That he does not even get affected by the moods in the general nature. But everyone else is affected by the three moods. So we are affected. I listened to a lecture many years ago by my Guru Maharaj. And he said in the lecture, it actually changed my life. I remember when he said this. So I was just listening to him on a tape. Sometimes you hear one thing on a lecture. You know, Prabhupada says one thing, one line, it changes your whole life. So my Guru Maharaj said, this was many years ago I heard this, he said, you cannot get out of the material world until you realize you are in the material world. So when I heard that, that changed my whole life. Because then I realized, oh, I'm affected by the modes of nature. And the more I understand that I'm affected, then I can become released from it. But if you don't understand that you are affected by the three modes of material nature, you can never get out of this material world. You will stay in the perpetual. So we are affected. So now we have to understand which is most conducive for Krishna consciousness. So hands up if you think tamaguna is the best for practicing Krishna consciousness. Hands up if you think rajaguna. Hands up if you think sattvaguna. Hands up, you've got no idea. I'm so glad that I came back to the temple live to give classes. It's so enlightening to be with the devotees. It makes me feel like just staying online perpetually. You get more action online, actually. But people respond more than you guys. So. I don't know why I came back. So sattvaguna. The acharyas say in their commentary on the Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, one of the acharyas points out the mode of goodness and the mode of shuddhasattva, the shuddhasattva and sattvaguna, they're very similar when you put them next to each other. Sattvaguna is conducive, that's why Prabhupada says it is a springboard to pure goodness. So we have to practice devotional service in the mode of goodness. Mode of ignorance, what is the quality? You are living in the past. Right? If you're always thinking, if things in the past are always disturbing you, does that happen sometimes? Yeah. You know, you're chanting a japa and something in the past, you're always thinking, oh, that person said that to me and that happened and that didn't happen. That's mode of ignorance. Always, consciousness always in the past. Mode of rajaguna, always in the future. Sometimes we're like that as well. We're chanting a japa, but we think, oh, one day this will happen. You know, if I just keep working, this will happen. That's what the whole material world is about. Rajaguna is the most prominent mode of nature in the material world. So what do people in the Rajaguna, what do they think? Oh, tomorrow I will get what I want. The next day, and then no. Krishna says in the 16th chapter of the Gita, I will conquer my enemies, this Rajaguna. I will conquer my enemies, and then I will get a kingdom greater than... That's how we think in the material world. Sattvaguna means you're in this consciousness right now. That is the only moment that you can really make spiritual advancement is right now. Just like when you're chanting the japa. If you're present and conscious and absorbed in the holy name, you're making progress. But if you're in tamaguna and you're chanting but you're thinking of the past, you're not making so much progress. Or if you're thinking of the future in rajaguna, you're not making so much progress. So therefore you have to be absorbed in now. And that's why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the holy name, he gave us three methodologies to chant the holy name. What are the three ways we can chant?
Japa.
This is so enlightening. What is it? Japa? Then?
Kirtan.
Kirtan and then Sankirtan. Right. These are the three ways that we can chant the holy name. Now, why is Sankirtan the most important and the most powerful? Because when you're absorbed in Sankirtan, right, you'll notice, like when you're chanting very ecstatically in a kirtan with the devotees, you're not thinking of the past or the future. Right? You're absorbed. That's why Sankirtan is the most powerful. Because in japa, we struggle with the mind. The mind still affects us a lot. You know, some devotees in the morning, they get up, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning chanting the temple Hare Krishna. But you see, sometimes you look at the boat, you see the morals acting. Like sometimes the boat is like.
Yeah.
You see, devotees do all sorts of things. One year we stayed up, it was Janmashtami. So we said, we're not going to go to sleep. You know, usually we sleep for a few hours and get up on Prabhupada's chest. We do. We're Brahmacharis, so we're up there on the landing up there, outside of Prabhupada's room, up in the Prabhupada house. Atul Krishna Prabhu, you know Atul Krishna Prabhu? When it comes to Melbourne, somebody. So we're chanting up there. Must be like 3 in the morning, we didn't take rest. We just, no, we're going to keep going, we're Brahmacharis, we're staunch. So we kept going. He was walking up and down, he actually fell over. Land on the carpet. I was chanting. He probably, he got up and went, oh. I didn't get this one. You can stay up all night if you're beyond the morals. It's not wrong to take rest. You take rest in Krishna's service. Now, when a devotee takes rest, then Prabhupada said, Brahmachari, as soon as he puts his head on the pillow, he will fall asleep. Because he did so much service that day for Krishna. Just lay down, and then wake up again, back to serve Krishna. That's it. So the modes of material nature are very important. Sattva-guna is very important to practice devotional service. Because then we will rise up. We will leave this material world. You can't leave the material world by practicing devotional service in passion or ignorance. Kapila Devi explains this in the third canto. Right? Mode of passion, it won't work. Mode of passion means like, you're just so passionate. I will just go back into the spiritual world. Where's the walk up? But there's, Lord Shiva is guarding it all. He's Kshetrapal. You can't get past him. You know, you can run as hard and fast as you want, but you'll just hit Lord Shiva. And you'll just lay him on the ground. Lord Shiva says, no, you're not ready yet. Right? Or Tamaguru, you won't even get started. You know, mode of ignorance, you're just like, you know, when are you ever going to get to Krishna? Krishna's just looking and saying, hey, Hare Baba, wake up. Come on, stay awake. Then you can get back. Mode of ignorance, my way, you'll never get to Krishna. Sattva-guna, right? You will get to Krishna. But it has to become purified over time. Right? Prabhupada says it's a stepping stone or a springboard to the next one. And if you practice like that, then you will get to Krishna. Otherwise, it's impossible. So this is very nice. Jad Bhavata, right, is instructing Maharaj Rahukana. And a very powerful section of the Bhagavatam, actually. So if we study this, we will become self-realized. Prabhupada said you have to study Bhagavatam categorically. Right? Because what's the Bhagavatam about? How many chapters are there in the... Well, first of all, how many cantos are there? How many? 12, very good. There's 12. How many verses are there? 18,000. So 12 cantos, 18,000 verses. How many chapters? Right, 330. Right. So if you look at the 330, 10th canto has 90. And then 11th canto is Uddhavagita, that's Krishna directly speaking. Right. So that's about 20, 24, something like that. So yeah, we'll say 110, roughly. And then if you get the first four chapters of canto 3, right, where they're discussing Krishna's pastimes directly, so you can add another four chapters there. So we'll say 115 to 120, like that. Roughly, that's directly about Krishna. First canto, Krishna returns to Dwarka. You know, student, maybe three chapters directly. So maybe, you know, say we'll say 120, something like that, around about. So if you take 120 out of 330, right, that means there's over a third of the Bhagavatam is directly about Krishna. So sometimes the devotees ask, why didn't Maharaj Parikshit, why didn't Shukadeva Goswami just directly speak about Krishna's pastimes? Because that's the Samambona, the Ashraya, the 10th subject matter. No, because you have to get ready. You have to prepare yourself and cleanse your consciousness to be ready to hear Krishna's pastimes. That's why you have to study it categorically. Prabhupada said in the introduction, If you study the first nine cantos very carefully, you should be a God-realized soul. By the time you get to the end of the ninth canto, you should be God-realized, self-realized. Then you can understand the tenth canto. I've studied the Bhagavad Gita a number of times, right? But I'm still not God-realized, right? Because I'm not imbibing deeply enough these teachings. But if we actually imbibe it all, when you get to the tenth canto, you'll realize it. So that's why we're here. That's why Prabhupada said, Nicham Bhagavata Sivanya, Bhagavatam Sin. Prabhupada said, every day, Bhagavatam class. When I joined the temple in 1989, we were on the 11th canto. So then we went through it again. And now we're going through it again. Is this the second or third time? First we started there. Maybe it's the third time. But you know, that's what Prabhupada, just keep going. Prabhupada says in one place you should read all of his books three times. And so if you read all of Prabhupada's books three times. No one. That's what we're supposed to do. That should keep us going. If you take all of Prabhupada's books, that's a lot to read. Have you read everything once? Pretty much. Yeah, quite a few books. You read the whole thing once. So that's a lot to read. That's a big commitment, right? All of the books, one time, right? Kali Yuga is and that's all the Vedic literature is just condensed. And still that's a lot to read. So then what does Krishna do? He speaks Bhagavad Gita, and then he brings it down even smaller. Only 700 verses. Devotees even struggle reading that. So then Lord Chaitanya brings it down to 8 verses, Shikshastika. And devotees even struggle reading that. 8 verses. Well, then Krishna in the Gita, he brings it all down to one verse. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajina. But he says 4 things. So then Arjuna says, can you just give me one thing? Krishna says, okay. Sadhadama prajaja. Mam ekam sharanam. That's the whole Bhagavad Gita. Mam ekam sharanam prajaja. The whole Bhagavad Gita is that one line. If you just follow that, then you'll go back to Krishna. Any questions or comments? From this very lively audience with Mars on. Yeah.
Do I need a mic?
Yeah. I can hear you. Speak loud.
You emphasize the importance of reading Prabhupada's books every day.
Sure.
But I just wanted to know the etiquette of reading books that are not Prabhupada's, like from his disciples. Because personally, some days I might not read Prabhupada's book, but I might read his disciples' book.
Yeah. It means that the question is, how much should you read Prabhupada's books compared to books by other people? It means that Prabhupada's book should be the main focus. Right? You never replace, you never read any of the other books more than you read Prabhupada's books. But it's like when you have prasadam. So you have the main course and then you have a few things on the side, the chutneys and things. Right? You don't just eat all chutney. Right? You don't just say, oh, I'm just going to eat tamarind chutney today. One liter of tamarind chutney. No one does that. So you don't, the other books, which are not Prabhupada's books, they're like the chutneys. You take it, that's okay. But you can't just eat that. You have to eat rice or something, that's the main thing. So you're allowed to read. Prabhupada never said you cannot read other books. He never said that. He actually says in his purports, you should read other books. He actually says that. He says you should read all of the books of their previous acharyas. He says that. But in balance, that's all. Don't just eat chutney. Okay?
I have a question regarding the high students you mentioned. Usually,
use the mic, please.
I have one question regarding the pious activities that you mentioned. When I hear pious activities, I think of feeding the poor, doing social welfare. But then, how is it pious to put kokum on the head of a cow? What's the purpose of it, I guess?
Yeah, something is mentioned somewhere in the Shastra. Something is mentioned. This is auspicious substance, auspicious animal. Something will be mentioned. There'll be some Vedic reference somewhere. It is called Karma Kanda. Sexual with the babies.
Usually these people follow Kanda, there's some really strict rules and regulations that people need to apply, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's Karmakanda means the portions of the Vedas which are primarily focused on satisfying forefathers or devatas or other living entities, not Krishna. Krishna's not their focus. That's why we don't follow these things. Because we want to please Krishna. What's the best way to please Krishna? Look after the cow. Yeah, it's okay, it's okay. You know, like one person rang me recently, said someone in my family passed away. So the priest told me I have to donate a cow. I said, we don't want you to donate a cow. You can sponsor a cow. But we don't want you to donate. We have a very specific breeding system in our herd. We don't want to, you know, anyone just throws in any cows and little changes. You know, so we said, sponsor the cow. I said, no, we have to donate the cow. I said, no, you can sponsor the cow. I said, no, we have to donate the cow. I said, no, you can sponsor the cow. And I said, no. So then nothing finished in the end. They weren't listening to me, and then I said, sorry, that's not how. You can't tell us. You know, we're the ones who are looking after it. Okay, you give the cow. Now who's going to look after it for the next 20 years? Us, not you. So don't tell us. You know, it's like I come to your house. Oh, here, have a baby. Yeah, I'll give you a baby. All right, I'll look after it. I might even give all the money. I say, oh, no, I'll give you all the money to look after the baby. But now you have to bring out a baby. It's all your time. Yeah, you have a book distribution going on. Excuse me, you have this bucket of beer, actually. It actually works very well, actually, when the kids are there. And the dog, what's the dog's name? Wally. Yeah, Wally. Wally Maharaj. Yes. So, you know, the dogs, people are attracted. They stop and the devotees say, you know, they sell books because, oh, they're interested in the dog. So they do. And I know Rupa Raghunath, my godbrother. Now, he takes, sometimes he's got his kid on his back. You know, puts him in the harness on the back. So he's got his kid. Everyone says, oh, the kid's so cute. So, yeah. So we've got this bucket here, and the kid's a bucket here. Yeah, they're talking to the kid and everything, and then the kid says, ah, take the bucket here. But it can be helpful. But that's the thing, like, you know, people say they want to do pious activity. It's not piety that we're interested in bhakti devotion. Right? It's all right to give a cow, but who's going to look after the cow? People don't think things through very carefully. So that's why I say to people, you should listen to us. We know what we're doing. We're doing this for Krishna, right? So you should listen to us and follow our advice, right? And then we can do these things. Now, but people don't, they get caught up, you know, some priest told them in India, you have to get a black cow, and you have to, you know, put the baby under it, and you have to put, now, who told these things? Not the Lord. Is that it? Thank you. Someone else has a question? Give them a microphone.
You said that doing the devotional service, we can deliver relatives.
Yeah.
You said, and how about the friends? Can we do that by devotional service? Can we?
You can. It says, you know, Prahlad Maharaj says in the seventh canto, it's very famous. He says that if you do devotional service, it depends on what level of advancement you are. If you're a Kanishtha Adhikari, one generation of your family will get benefited. Right? If you're a Majjhima Adhikari, 14 generations get the benefit. If you're a Uttama Adhikari, 100 generations get the benefit. So it depends on your level of advancement. Friends don't get the benefit, but if you say, okay, today my japa, all the japa I chant, and whatever advancement I make, if you say to Krishna at the end, Krishna, please give this to this particular person, you can do like that. Those things can work. So you can pass on. Okay, please come again. Any other questions? Someone else in the head? Any other questions?
jhumika in now. Does that depends on the past karma? Like some people have a nature very passionate. So does that depend? Does that because of the past karma?
The mode you're under now?
Yeah.
Is that because of your past karma?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the question is the mode of nature that we're under now, is that because of our past karma? Yes. Because the body you get is already made up of certain modes. Your mind is already a certain way. Some people's minds are very passionate. Just like if you look at the Jyotish, right? So if someone's moon is in Aries, for example, right, their mind is going to be very passionate. You know, they have very like forceful mind on that. So yeah, that means because of your past karma, your subtle body, your gross body is already under the modes.
So then how can it relate to
No, then use it in Krishna service, that's all. Use it in Krishna. If you have a particular nature, use that nature in Krishna service. And then gradually use your passion, overcome ignorance, and use your passion in Krishna service to bring it to the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means you're very steady, very fixed, very peaceful. So just use your nature and it will come. Right? You'll become purified. But the like mode of Rajagun, it has negative qualities. Get rid of the negative side. The good quality of Rajagun is you get things done. So get things done for Krishna. So it's not a bad thing. Does that make sense? Any other question? Jai Ho, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Ho, Srila Prabhupada ki.